listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a...
We're coming up to the holiday season, and there always seems to be controversy surrounding the celebration of Christmas. My Christian friends always tend to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Is Jesus really the reason for the season?
And that really gets to the heart of the issue of Christmas, is whether or not the season is about Jesus or not. Of course, God created the seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall, since the world began and after the flood of Noah. So we understand that God is the reason for creation, and we know biblically that Jesus Christ provides salvation for all men in every season. So Jesus is the reason for every season in that way. But, of course, we're talking here about the special holiday of Christmas and whether or not Jesus is the reason for Christmas, the Christmas season. And this is an important question to address as Christians, because we who are to preach Christ need to know how we preach him. And so if we're to preach Christ as he's preached at Christmas, then we need to know how that is. But when we stop and look around us during this season, during the holiday of Christmas, and we see everything going on, we really need to ask ourselves whether he is or not. And I think it's pretty obvious to many people, Christians included, that he is not. When we see the commercialism, okay, we read about the origins of the day, and many people bring that up every year. There's an atheist or some historian that'll bring up the origins of Christmas and how they were pagan in origin, and how that there was Saturnalia, and there were pagan winter festivals before Christ was even born 2,000 years ago. And so no doubt a lot of the traditions, a lot of the events and the day itself, the December 25th being near the solstice, winter solstice, is something that came from ancient paganism and not from the Bible, and not through Jesus's life or from the Christian church. And so this is something that Christians need to acknowledge, that we need to understand that a lot of the things going on did not originate with Christ. They came from pagan beliefs before Christ was born. Many of the things we do now that are associated religiously with Christmas were introduced by the Roman Catholic Church and by ancient Christians as they were trying to compromise with the pagan religions around them. Many early Christians and some of the church fathers were against the celebration of these winter festival days and the holidays. Even as recently as 150 years ago, Christians were against the celebration of it, knowing that it wasn't in the Bible and knowing it wasn't part of what Christ would have us preach. And so in one sense, God and Jesus being the creator of all things, we honor him every day of the year. But looking at the way that people celebrate Christmas, it really is without Christ.
Well, shouldn't we as Christians be making an effort to keep Christ in Christmas, or at least try to redeem some of these things for Christ?
Yeah, and this speaks to the general war on Christmas that Christians bring to the table every season. And if we just stop and think about it as Christians, about whether or not we should, whether Christ is in Christmas at all, we see that half or more of what people do around Christmas time is just without Christ in general. Whether it be the Christmas songs people sing, half of the Christmas songs don't include Christ at all. They're about Santa Claus and the tree and the reindeer and the Frosty the Snowman. So these, of course, are all extra-biblical, outside the Bible. Christ has nothing to do with these things. And so, you know, singing, you know, "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas," really speaks nothing about Christ at all. And so putting Christ back into a place where he never was is really a problem, I think. We're not to put Christ into pagan religions or to Catholic days of obligation or anything like that. Rather, we need to preach Christ the way the Bible tells us to preach him, according to the mystery, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection for salvation, you know, the hope that comes from that. And so Christ really just isn't in Christmas. Now, the second part of your question was about redeeming Christ, redeeming Christmas for Christ, and the Christians trying to take the things that are pagan and making them their own. And this also speaks to the spirit of compromise, which I think goes away, goes along with the spirit of Christmas, where Christians want to take the tree and want to take Santa and want to take the gifts, the things that were originally pagan or Catholic or historical events, and they want to make them part of our ministry as Christians. And again, this is something you really have to put into the Bible, because we'll see later that it's really not there. The tree, for example, was worshipped and bowed down to before Christ in the pagan religions. The god Odin was an evergreen tree. That was his image. And as people bowed down to that tree and worshipped it, he gave them gifts, right? And so Christians say, well, the evergreen tree never loses its needles, its leaves, and so it's an evergreen, everlasting. This speaks to Christ living forever. Well, that sounds good, and it's good preaching, but it's not where the tree came from. And it's never how Christ told us to preach him. Christ never used the evergreen tree as an illustration of himself. And so it's just a matter of whether we want to be biblical in our ministry or not. You know, the gifts, for example, Christians say, well, shouldn't Christians be giving? And it's more blessed to give than to receive, Acts chapter 20 says. And yet everybody knows that Christmas is about the getting. And so we say it's more blessed to give than to receive, but if your kids did not receive anything on Christmas, you'd be a bad parent, right? This is the idea in Christmas. And so it really isn't about the giving in Christmas, but the receiving. And this is just the opposite of the Christian principle. And of course, a lot of people do give things on Christmas and all that, but you know, Santa Claus especially, Santa himself being a figment of people's imagination, really a caricature, a lot of Christians try to redeem that and say, well, there really was a saint, a minister who went around to the poor people in his city centuries ago in the 3rd and 4th century, and his name was Nicholas, you know, Saint Nicholas, and he would give gifts to poor children and these sort of things, and that's where Santa Claus comes from. And so it's okay that we have a Santa Claus in the mall and we put our children on his lap, and he asks them if you've been a good boy or girl this year, and we sing songs about him having deity attributes. Which is just fascinating how Santa Claus, for example, knows when you've been sleeping, knows when you're awake. And so it's not any more about the ancient Saint Nicholas, if he ever even existed. It's now about some caricature, knowing when you're asleep, knowing when you're awake, and just like God knows whether you've been bad or good, and he keeps a list of good and bad boys and judges accordingly, and he punishes and rewards. And this is a religious system, which isn't even the Christian message. We preach a message of grace. Or Christ died for you while you were still a sinner. So according to the Christian message, Christ gives you salvation, even if you've been a bad boy and bad girl. Santa, however, is communicating and teaching this works-based, religious-based situation, and he has the same attributes of Jesus. He's the judge of all men. He's omnipresent because he goes around the world in a single night. Apparently, he changes shape because he goes down the chimney and this sort of thing. He lives in the North Pole, which is where God lives in Psalms, in the sides of the north. You know, he knows, again, where you're sleeping or whether you're awake. These attributes of omniscience, you know, are all deity attributes, attributes of God, the God of the Bible. And so there's really no way to redeem that without taking Santa out and putting Christ in his place, because that's who we're preaching, Christ, not Santa. You know, Saint Nick and praying to saints and talking about saints and honoring saints, this is not something the Bible says to do. We glory in Christ and his cross, and if unless you're following the Roman Catholic traditions and the traditions where they pray to saints and worship saints, it's not something for biblical Christianity.
Well, even as Christians, certainly not every single thing we do on a daily basis is going to be focused on Christ. Can't we just have fun? I mean, Santa, the tree, giving gifts, it's just fun, right?
And no doubt it is. I have a lot of memories myself growing up in Christmas times and having a lot of happy experiences and things. And at the same time, there's a lot of lying that goes on in a lot of this fun. So in the name of having fun, we're presenting lies, especially to young children. And this is a problem as Christians who teach honesty and sincerity, and we're trying to preach the truth. And of course, as I say these things, I'm sounding like a Grinch, of course, you know, because I'm pouring cold water on all of our fantasies and the wonder of the season. But, you know, lying is a sin. And this is what the Bible teaches us. And so parents tell their kids to be honest, but then they lie to them every year about a Santa bringing them gifts, when actually they're the ones that stay up and buy them gifts, and they'll write the name Santa on there. And kids learn to expect this and learn from that how it's okay to deceive and it's okay to pretend and it's okay to lie about what's going on. It's not my parents giving them to me. It's a mythical man that isn't really real, but he gives me gifts. You know, another thing wrong about just having fun with Santa is it's not all fun and games to everybody. We tend to, if we have a lot of wealth or have a lot of comfort, to enjoy the things that we have, and we try to have fun with seasons and things like that. But for many people who do not have access to those sorts of things, and they're taught that Santa will bring them things, kids and children and parents and families really struggle and suffer over these things. It really breaks my heart every year when you hear children, and you hear stories like this every year, where children will ask Santa and write letters to Santa asking for things that nobody can give on this earth. You know, the return of their father from the war, or the reconciliation of their parents' marriage, or something like this, and it simply doesn't happen. And so the requests that children are told to make to Santa, what do you want this year? And children say things like, well, I don't want any gifts for myself, Santa. I want to help my mother, my father, or my dead grandmother, or something. And these are things that you should be praying to God. Why aren't we teaching our children to pray to God about these things and come to the Bible with these things? But instead, we create Santa Claus and we say, well, ask Santa for that this year. Well, why don't you ask Christ? Why don't you ask God when you speak to him? And so there is kind of a danger in the fun. Nothing wrong with having fun unless you're communicating wrong in your fun, unless you're communicating error and lies in it. And this is the problem, the danger with those sorts of things in Christmas, is it's not just a cookout where you're having, you know, hamburgers and eating good food with people. You're introducing fables, fiction, legends that are not true and that are directed specifically at children. Christmas is about children for the most part, and those are the most fragile and innocent of us. And so we should really be guarding them against such errors.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more answers from Justin Johnson about Christmas.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch.
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
Here's what people are saying about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship.
Grace Ambassadors is a Bible fellowship, and our main focus is studying the Bible.
The pure gospel of grace is taught and never mixed with law or a law-based system.
A group of people here earnestly seeking the truth from God's Word come together in unity of faith and sound doctrine.
It's about growing people in God's Word.
Being able to sit with my children or wife and have a basic understanding of the Bible helps in so many areas of life.
No lies, no tithing, just truth. Now that I've found Grace Ambassadors, I'll never go anywhere else.
Learn more about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch.
Before the break, you spoke about Christmas and how it focuses on children. But for adults, we've stopped believing in Santa Claus, and now we just want to benefit from the joy, peace, and goodwill of the holiday. Isn't it really the spirit of Christmas that we celebrate?
You're right. Yeah, the spirit of Christmas is what many adults are looking forward to. And just at the outset, I guess, talking about this topic, you think about what the real spirit is, and everyone's trying to convince themselves to have it because many of the weeks leading up to Christmas, it's chaotic and it's busy and you really don't have that sort of spirit. So everyone's trying to catch that spirit, you know, and there's all these events and different songs and everything to try to help them get that. So first of all, it doesn't really come naturally for people to have this spirit. Secondly, you're talking about the spirit of Christmas being, what'd you say, joy and wonder and peace and greatness, general greatness, you know, feeling good. And this is really the subtle danger as well as of Christmas, because all of these things are coming from memories, nostalgia, and things and days and pagan origins that, again, are not Christ. As a Christian, I love life and joy and peace and wonder. And I think God's creation is amazing. The things that God does is amazing. I think people that Christ works in are amazing, and the church is amazing. And so I understand the desire to have these things. And without sounding a little pious, you know, this is what God made the church to do, to preach the truth about these things. And quite frankly, he didn't tell us to preach the truth about the spirit of Christmas. What we need to preach about is the Holy Spirit. We need to preach about is the spirit of Christ, you know, Jesus Christ in people's lives. And that's just not the message of Christmas. You know, the word itself, Christmas, has the word Christ in it. And I remember when I was younger getting in trouble for taking Christ out and putting the letter X there is Xmas. People say Xmas, and not knowing, of course, there's a religious reason for that, and that's the Greek word chi for Christ and things like that. But it's just a mess. People say, we need to put Christ back in the name. Well, they never focus on the Mass part. You know, it's not a Christ day. It's a Christ Mass. Where does that come from? Well, that's a Roman Catholic teaching of the Mass, which they have every week, a few times a week sometimes. And the Christ Mass is an obligated holy day, a special day that Catholics are required to be at their church. And so this immediately is something that is not a gracious teaching at all for a church that believes the Bible rightly divided. But instead, it's a religious tradition. In fact, great preachers of the 19th century like Charles Spurgeon, he did not celebrate Christmas for that very reason, that it was a Mass. And he said, when someone can show me in the Bible where the Mass is taught, then I will celebrate the Christ Mass. But it seems like Christians have just glossed over this whole idea of Christmas being a Christ Mass. And of course, most of the world doesn't even consider the Catholic orientation of a Christ Mass or the pagan origins. They're just in it, like you said, for the fun and for the spirit of it. But as Christians, we need to be able to speak the truth about those things coming from Christ. We teach a spirit from God, not the spirit of the world. And if you're going to talk about the spirit of the world in Christmas, there's really no better place to start talking about that than Charles Dickens and the story of the Grinch and Dr. Seuss and a lot of these stories that kind of surround the culture of Christmas that, again, have nothing to do with Christ. It was Dr. Seuss who wrote the story of the Grinch and the Whos and down in Whoville. Remember where the Grinch took all the things away from the Whos, thinking that they were excited for Christmas because of those physical things. And when the Grinch took those things away, remember at the end of the story where he realized that Christmas was perhaps a little bit more than just the physical things. And so the Grinch identified that it was something more than just the physical things and the objects and Santa and the tree and the gifts. It was something else. But the problem with that something else is that he doesn't identify what it is. Dr. Seuss even said, it was recorded once, that he got in a situation in writing his story that he sounded like a preacher almost. He's got to a point in the Grinch story where he wanted to preach something, and he said, I didn't want to sound like a second-rate preacher or to teach some biblical truism. He didn't want to say anything whatsoever. He just ended up writing The Grinch where he just became the host of their party and he brought everything back. And so The Grinch is really a letdown in that story because he doesn't preach Christ. And it wasn't Christ that was in The Grinch's heart. It wasn't Christ being preached in Whoville. You know, Charles Dickens, for example, back in the 1800s, he wrote the famous Christmas Carol, which has been repeated and redone and replayed many different times. And that whole Christmas Carol communicates to people in our society in the West what the Christmas culture is really about in that Christmas spirit. In fact, he was visited by three spirits, you know, during the Christmas Carol. And there's really two kinds of way to keep Christmas, and Charles Dickens described what that was. The most popular way to keep Christmas, according to Charles Dickens, was without Christ at all. In fact, Charles Dickens wrote the Christmas Carol in response to Christians in England who were saying that Christ is what we need to preach every day of the year. And he said, it's okay to have a little bit of spirit of Christmas. He said that Christmas time is a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut up hearts freely and to think of people below them as they really were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And so these people keep Christmas as a good time, as a time of wonder. And Charles Dickens did not want Christ in his Christmas for the reason that Christ would have ruined this worldwide unity. Because Christ preaches your need for a Savior and preaches the sinfulness of the world, and that unless you believe in Christ, you will be judged by him and you will not enjoy life, peace, and happiness forever in him. So Charles Dickens really taught this doctrine that the whole world comes together at Christmas. And it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter who you are, we can all celebrate Christmas. And indeed, it happens that way. The whole world celebrates Christmas. So as Christians are trying to put Christ back in it, he wasn't even there. He wasn't really ever there. You know, it's interesting that the enemy in the Christmas Carol, the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, was the evil villain who did not know how to keep Christmas well, even though his name was Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is a biblical name, which means a stone of help. Why did he give him a biblical name? And, of course, there were preachers in England whose names were Ebenezer and churches whose names were Ebenezer, who would stand fast on the rock of the truth. And Charles Dickens, in his spiritism, in his personal life, his general spiritism, not the spirit of Christ, tried to communicate this Christmas belief that it didn't matter what you believed, and there was no certain absolute truth for everybody. So we need to realize that the spirit of Christmas is also just as dangerous for adults as it is for children. It distracts children and adults from the source of truth, the source of joy, the source of peace.
So if Jesus isn't the reason for the season, Christ was never in Christmas to begin with, and the spirit of Christmas is just a distraction, the obvious question is, should Christians celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, and that's a great conclusion to the program, just asking what should Christians do. And of course, the answer is always we should be doing what God has instructed us to do in his word, in the Bible, rightly divided. And we'll find out as we talk next episode as well about Christmas that the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas. I know people will object and say, well, Christ is in the Bible and his birth is in the Bible. And aren't we celebrating Christ's birthday around Christmas, which, of course, is not the Christ Mass. And it wasn't the pagan origins of any of the tree and Santa or anything like this. But we'll deal with that the next episode about doing that. But the problem with celebrating his birth and nothing else is that it's the resurrection and the death of Jesus that is the most important event in human history. His birth, if he had just been born in the manger and stopped there, then there would be no salvation of the world. There would be no Christian. There would be no church. There would be no message for us to preach. And so we should emphasize not the birth, even though it's a miraculous event, and it's an amazing thing that God was incarnate in the flesh. We should rather preach the cross, which was what Paul says in Galatians 6:14. He says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so Paul says in Galatians 6 very clearly about how we should glory in nothing else but the cross of Christ. And so when you have so many Christians who try to glory in the cradle of Christ, in the creche, you see a disorientation, a distraction, a movement away from the glory of the cross, which really is the central message of Christianity. And so Christians who celebrate Christmas, not only do they find themselves having to partake in the commercialism, which they decry, or some pagan traditions, which they say they're not a part of, or the Roman Catholic Church, which many are not, but they also misrepresent God's word, and they add things to the Bible that aren't there, and they have to ignore or water down things that aren't there in order to celebrate Christmas, as we saw in Charles Dickens and The Grinch and everything else. And so if we're going to celebrate something that and say that it's God's and from the Bible, we should be doing it according to how God said it. So the question of should Christians celebrate Christmas, I guess you got to think about all the things that make Christmas Christmas in the culture's eyes. You know, should Christians tell their children that they're going to be judged by a man from the North Pole with a white beard and a big belly about how good they are this year? Or should we tell their children about the preaching of Jesus Christ? Should we tell them to write letters to someone in Indiana? You know, all Santa's letters come to Indiana, to a town, Santa Claus, Indiana, and the post office opens them all. And so should we lie to their children that way or tell them and teach them how to pray to God, the God of the Bible? You know, should we teach our children about a resurrected snowman or the resurrection of Christ? Should we teach our children about, you know, the reindeer games and how you're really not useful unless you got a shiny nose, or teach people that Christ died for your sins while you were a sinner, and it is God that saves those who need saving, not Santa Claus or fog or shiny noses. So, I mean, there's all these lessons that surround the culture that really do come from a works-based type of principle. And this is not the grace of God found in Christianity. And so should Christians celebrate Christmas? Well, a lot of these things need to go away. So if Christians are trying to put Christ back in a season where he never really originated, at least the grace of Christ, according to biblical Christianity, then we become the Grinches. You know, we'll have to, because we have to get rid of the paganism. We've got to get rid of the Roman Catholic tradition, the lies about the wafer and the mass, the lies about, who Santa is, and the lies about the tree. And we got to get rid of all, so much stuff that suddenly, making this season, or December 25th, about Jesus Christ and Him alone, it looks to be more like a church service than any sort of cultural form of Christmas. And so you're really going to destroy Christmas by bringing Christ back into it. And I say amen to that. You know, Christ ruined my Christmas a long time ago, and I think we need to bring Christ back into every season. And I think this is what Christians ought to do, be the preachers of Christ, the ambassadors of Christ. And when we do that, we will find that we are not doing what the world is doing, what they call Christmas. And so it's a hard answer, but I think Christians need to do what the Bible tells us to do and trust that God knows what we need to do. And that's a battle. That's a fight. And so really the war on Christmas isn't for us to try to put Christ where he doesn't belong, but rather to put Christ in a world that needs him, you know, not in sort of cultural tradition, but to people that need to hear the gospel. And so we need to be Bible-based. We need to be biblical Christians. And so the next episode, I think we'll talk more about the biblical, so-called biblical reasons for Christ. You know, it used to be in the 1800s, it used to be in the 1700s, that the Puritans, that biblical Christians, the Baptists, you know, and other denominations who were biblically oriented, they would condemn and they would not celebrate Christmas. And so the churches that were closed on Christmas were those who did celebrate it, you know, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Catholics. But those who did not, because they understood it was not in the Bible, they were open on Christmas and they said, come out to church and learn about Christ, because it wasn't about the day and the things they celebrated at home, those rituals. It was about Christ himself. And so it wasn't about the day. Paul tells us, let no man judge you, therefore, in any holy day. And so no doubt that happens a lot when one Christian says to another, I don't celebrate Christmas, for the reason that Christ is who I'm supposed to preach, not any sort of culture or season or spirit of Christmas. So it's a hard question to respond to, but I think it's very simply answered from the scripture. Should a Christian celebrate Christmas? No, he should preach Christ crucified, and his resurrection is the means of salvation to a world that's lost and totally distracted. And quite frankly, the world doesn't want him in their Christmas. And that's something we've known all along in a present evil world.
You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.